I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With the sixth pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Washington Wizards select Trey Johnson from the University of Texas.
So, with the understanding, Max, and all of you listening, that we don't know anything really about 18 and 19-year-olds entering a grown man league, which is what the NBA is, it's not going to stop any of us from having an opinion. It's not going to stop me from having an opinion on what the Wizards did last night, and I won't bury the lead. I liked it. Good morning, everybody. Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 will join me in about 40 minutes with the latest on the RFK deal. There are hurdles still yet to clear. And some of those were put up in front of the team and in front of the mayor yesterday. So we'll get the latest on that. I know that there's a lot of angst with many of you about what the city council is doing and how long they're taking and now separating it from the actual budget bill and not getting it voted on by the deadline on the initial deal, the initial term sheet that was negotiated July 15th, and the situation that puts the team into. Eric Flack, WUSA Channel 9, in 40 minutes to explain all of it. Chase Hughes, who covers the Wizards for Monumental Sports, will be our guest at 11, and there's a possibility of another guest during the 12 o'clock hour. You're going to hear everybody that spoke last night about the Wizards draft, including the general manager, Will Dawkins, who held a press conference after round one, and we'll get what his thinking was on Trey Johnson and on Will Riley. So, I saw a friend of mine this morning getting coffee, and he's a big Hoops fan, big Wizards fan, and I said, so what did you think? And he said, they drafted LeBradford Smith. I'm like, oh my God. He's like, he plays just like him. You know, everybody's got an opinion. And I said, well, you know what? You might be right. You might be right. LeBradford Smith, of course, the famous LeBradford Smith story is when he scored, I think it was like 38 against Jordan in Chicago in the early 90s, and said to him after the game, put his arm around him and said, nice game, Mike. And they played the next night or two nights later, and Jordan told his teammates, I want to get 37 in the first half against this guy. It turns out he ended up with 47 for the game. Now, I do think I remember from The Last Dance, Jordan said he kind of exaggerated that story about LeBradford Smith. Is that what it was? He made the whole thing up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he to made it up himself? All in his head. Yeah, to motivate himself, as you know, true competitors do.
Yeah, hard to change a story like that with one documentary, but you remembered that he changed, that he gave us the truth in The Last Dance, and I remembered that there was something in there about it, but still, one of those great Jordan stories. I don't know if Trey Johnson's going to end up being a LeBradford Smith. Look, I liked the pick. We talked about Trey Johnson a lot on the show yesterday in particular. That was of the guys that were more likely than not going to be there at six. That's who I wanted. I think that Trey Johnson comes into this league with something that you're guaranteed to get. You don't know about a lot of things when they're 18 or 19 years old, but when you can shoot the basketball like he can, and he is a very good shooter. I mean, the stroke is perfect. It's perfect off the bounce. It's perfect off the catch. It's perfect posting up and fading away. It's perfect at the free throw line. When you get a player that can shoot, that's something that never goes away. I mean, he'll be 75. And he'll still be burying jump shots from 23, 24 feet. So they got something in Trey Johnson that you know he'll bring to the NBA. Now, all of the rest of it, can he guard? Can he play pick and roll? Can he get to the rim? Can he finish at the rim? Can he play in all sorts of different environments and systems and with certain kinds of players versus others? We'll learn all that. He's 19 years old. What you saw at Texas was you saw a guy who was legitimately high-level competitor, fearless. His very first game, we talked about some of his games on the show yesterday. His very first game, Ohio State in Vegas. He goes out and gets 29. On 20 shot attempts in his first game as a true freshman, 10 threes. He was 5 for 10 from behind the arc. He was 10 for 20 from the floor, and he had 29 points. In the SEC, you played against the best. That league last year was unbelievable. It basically, what did we have at one point? 4 of the top 5 teams in the country were out of the SEC. You know, Florida, Auburn, Alabama, and Tennessee. I think we're all in the top 5 simultaneously. Kentucky was really good. Ole Miss was good. Texas A&M was good. Arkansas came on at the end of the year. The league was brutal, so he went against the best, and he did well against the best. And yeah, there were nights where he didn't shoot it well. There were nights where he was held down a bit. But this guy, if you watched anything leading into the draft, even if it was just highlights, which does not tell the whole story, you realize that this dude was highly competitive, that he is not only a shooter but a scorer, and he's absolutely fearless and confident. I don't know what the hell he was wearing last night with the white socks. It looked a little bit odd, but I loved the interview that he did with his father, with Monica McNutt. I thought that was a great interview, and he ribbed his father a little bit for kind of forgetting his age. But I love Trey Johnson. I was not an Ace Bailey guy. Ace Bailey is incredibly talented, but look, we're not going to ever need to, you know, debate that because he wasn't available. He went, very surprisingly to him, to Utah at number 5, the pick before the Wizards picked. You know, there was a lot of discussion about Ace Bailey on the pregame and during those first picks. You know, the pre-draft process that was not handled well, at least based on how NBA teams viewed it. And, you know, that was one of the reasons he had been mocked for 2 years in the top 3 and was potentially falling to the Wizards at 6 or perhaps even further than that. Some suggested that Ace Bailey had a deal in hand, had a commitment from a team in hand, and that's why he ditched the pre-draft process. He was okay going to, say, the Wizards at 6. Well, it turns out he goes to Utah at 5, and he claims there was no deal, and he was surprised and said he had no clue that they were interested in him. So we'll never have to debate unless you feel like they should have been aggressive in trying to trade up. And look, there were stories out there earlier in the week that the Wizards were interested in trading up. We don't know if it was for Bailey. It could have been for Edgecombe. It could have been for Dylan Harper. Could have been for Knuppel. Who knows who it was for? But they weren't able to trade up, even if there was some interest in trading up. They did not have the choice of Ace Bailey and other players. they had the choice of Trey Johnson, if you were a Jeremiah Fears fan, I was very surprised to see Yegor Demin, the player that I was hoping the Wizards at 18, if they didn't get Derek Queen in a trade-up, I was hoping Demin might be there at 18, or they might only have to trade up a few spots. I saw his mocks from anywhere from 12 to 22. So when he went 8, I was surprised. I thought he was the best passer of the players that I watched in sort of looking ahead to this draft. And at 6'8", 6'9", that he was actually going to be able to play point guard in the NBA. He went 8 overall. I doubt the Wizards were going to take him at 6, but who knows? Well, they didn't, because they took Trey Johnson. I love Trey Johnson as a college player, as a one-year college player, as a 19-year-old. I think this guy has a chance to be a big-time scorer in the NBA. We'll find out. One thing he can do, there is no doubt about this, he can shoot it. And I think he can score, not just as a shooter, but as an off-the-dribble creator scorer, as a post-up at 6'5", 6'6". So I'm excited about Trey Johnson. I think, you know, with Carrington, with, you know, it'll be C.J. McCollum. Look, with C.J. McCollum and Marcus Smart on the roster, you've got two veteran players who are also two high IQ veteran players, in Smart's case, high IQ and highly competitive. Like, you know, it'll be a good, I think, developmental situation for Trey Johnson. And then the Wizards at 18 traded back. And I got to tell you, man, at 18, I kept thinking Walter Clayton Jr. We talked about him a lot. I didn't understand why he was being mocked in the 20s, you know, somewhere from like 22 to 28, you saw with Clayton Jr. It didn't make any sense to me. I thought he should have been in the lottery personally. But when he was there at 18, which we expected he would be, and the Wizards were on the clock, I'm like, that's who they have to take. They've got to take Walter Clayton Jr. I don't care that he's, you know, an old man at 22. I don't care that he played 4 years of college basketball, not all of it at high level, the last two at Florida. The guy is a big-time scorer. He is a separator. He's got a quick release. He is clutch. You know, there was some, you know, talk about they didn't think he was a good decision maker in pick and roll. I didn't see that. And sure enough, Washington at 18, on behalf of the Utah Jazz, after they traded back, the Utah Jazz selected Walter Clayton Jr. at 18. I saw that the trade was in the process of being made, and then when I saw who Utah took, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So the Wizards went back, and at 21, they took Will Riley, another player that we mentioned yesterday. I said at 18, here are the guys that if they took them, I wouldn't be upset. And Will Riley was one of those guys. Will Riley was the sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. Another super competitive, high motor, you know, player. He can really shoot it. You know, I watch a lot of Big Ten basketball, Maryland, obviously, in particular, but watch a bunch of Big Ten games. And that's kind of it this past year until the tournament or late in the season, in part because we had a really good football team that was playing deep into January. But Will Riley just kept getting more minutes, getting more trust, and you could see he could play. Like, he had NBA potential, and I liked the pick. You know, they traded back and got a guy that I'm sure they felt like they could get at 21, because I think for the most part, Will Riley was late first round projected, mid to late 20s, some second round in mocks. I like Will Riley. I liked watching him this year when he was at Illinois. You know, Illinois is one of the few Big Ten teams that plays kind of an NBA style. They play a lot of up-tempo, a lot of taking it out of the, you know, off the rim and pushing it, taking it out of the bucket and inbounding it and getting it up court. They've always played that way. And I like both picks. I would have preferred Clayton Jr. I would have preferred a trade-up to get Derek Queen. Yes, Derek Queen would have been phenomenal, even with a trade-up. Who else in this draft at 18? At 18, honestly, I was like, it's Clayton Jr. And then when they traded back, I was like, well, Will Riley's on the board, and the guy Newell is on the board. We talked a little bit about him. I think Nick Clifford's on the board. I know we talked about him from Colorado State, the kid who had a great game against Maryland in the tournament. We talked about Jace Richardson from Michigan State, Jason Richardson's son. So there were a bunch of guys there. So any of those guys, I would have been fine with. I like the draft, but what the hell do we know? 18, 19 years old. It's going to play out over 6-7 years. You know, I went back yesterday after the show because I wanted to kind of get a sense of what the NBA draft really is. Because I've said many times over the years, look, this is not the NFL draft. This is a draft in which a smaller, much smaller percentage of the players that are picked are not going to contribute. And in fact, many of them won't even be in the league in 5 years. And if they are in the league, they're at the end of a bench somewhere. The NFL draft, by definition, because of roster size, is just a much better opportunity. You know, more players are selected because there are more jobs available. 53-man rosters, 90 people that go to camp. The NBA is just much different, much smaller rosters. Not to mention, the NBA draft typically is picking from a pool of players that have played, on average, probably a year and a half to 2 years. Whereas in the NFL, it's 3 to 4 years, sometimes more than that. And physical maturity and mental maturity, you would think that it's more important in the NFL, but actually, it's equal. The NBA is a grown man's league. Older teams, until this year, older teams typically are teams that win the most. You really don't know about a player until he's been in the league 4 to 5 years. If he comes in at 18, that's 22, 23. 19, 20, that's 23, 24, 25. You really don't know. I went back yesterday and I just went back 8 years in the draft. Arbitrarily, I just picked 2017. Other years would have matched up. But I'm like, 8 years, you know, when you're coming in at 18, 19, and you're 25, 26, 27, that's kind of the prime of somebody's career. Maybe the beginning of the prime in NBA terms, but it's in the prime. And I went back, and when you look at the 2017 draft, it produced two players who we would all say are star players. One of them you might say superstar, you know, borderline debatable top five. Those two players, and it was only two, Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell. Out of 60 players picked, two turned into massive contributing star players. You go through the drafts that followed. It was like 2018, you only had two, Luka and SGA. 2019, you didn't really have any. You don't have any star players from that draft. Zion Williamson went number one overall. Ja Morant, super early. You know, Zion Williamson has star potential, can't stay healthy. Ja Morant, you could call him a borderline star, but he can't seem to stay out of trouble or can't stay healthy. 2020 was Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton. That's the list. When you go back to 2017, listen to this. 17 of the 60 players, 17 are still in the league playing, in getting ready to play, or having played their eighth season. 17 out of the 60. 30 out of the 60 were out of the league in 5 years or less. Half the players. So its impact, you know, is legitimate if you can find a player or two. It's just so hard to find those players. And they come in all manners, all spots in the draft. We know that. You know, just look at recent MVPs. Jokic, 41st in the second round. SGA at 11. Kawhi at 15. Giannis at 15. Steph at 7 overall. The Wizards' goal last night was to be in 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years from now. You look back on 2025 and you say, they got one of the two. They got one of the two or three that legitimately turned into a star. They got it number 6 in Trey Johnson. They got it right. Or 21, they got it right with Will Riley. Turned into a star. Would have been much more fun last night had the Wizards had the first pick. Had they won the draft lottery and been able to select Cooper Flagg. I was thinking about that, and I'm sure we talked about it on draft lottery day after. But if the Wizards had had the first pick in the draft last night, that would have been a massive local story. Massive. Because the Wizards, let's face it, of the four professional teams, you can throw in some of the college teams, they are dead last right now in relevance. Dead last. Now, I like what they're doing. I think what they're doing is the right way to do it. It doesn't guarantee anything, but I am on board and was on board when Winger and Dawkins and company came in and said, this is what we're going to do. I am on board for this. And we are now, you know, in our third draft. By the way, they added a second round pick, so they're back in the draft as part of the trade back with Utah. They also added two future second rounders for the three spot drop. So they do have a second rounder tonight. It's 43 overall. They were at 40 overall. They traded that to New Orleans as part of the Jordan Poole, CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk trade. I like what they're doing. We're in the third of what will probably be 4 to 5 drafts that have to produce either enough ammo to make trades to bring in star players or right before they become star players or land those star players via these 4 to 5 drafts. We're in draft 3 of probably 5 drafts that will tell the tale 5 years from now. And so far, they've added good players, Koulibaly and Sarr and George and Carrington and A.J., you know, Johnson, you know, and hopefully last night Trey Johnson and Will Riley. You know, there is some promise. God, they are young. They are, we got a lot of 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds. And, you know, if you're interested, then you'll pay attention to this process of watching them play NBA games and seeing whether or not the Wizards got it right from an evaluation standpoint. That's most important. And then secondly, almost as important, player development. You got to be really good at developing these players when you get them. And then you got to be really good at retaining them. So there's still, you know, other things that have to happen. But I like the draft. I, you know, as much as you can like it without really knowing much about players this age. I was a fan of Trey Johnson heading into this draft and said that I wanted them to take Trey Johnson at 6. That was of the players that were more likely than not going to be available. At 18, I would have loved Walter Clayton Jr. I really wanted Derek Queen. He ended up going 13 to New Orleans after a trade. And that might be a good fit. They've got to be a healthy team, obviously. Once he was gone, Yegor Damon was gone. I loved him. Walter Clayton Jr. Was fine for me at 21. I'm sorry, Will Riley was fine for me at 21, but I would have preferred Walter Clayton Jr. at 18, which is what Utah took after trading up with the Wizards. Mention Queen. I did not mention Sorber. Wow, was he emotional. Good for him. He goes to the champs at 15. From Georgetown, the 6'9", big from Georgetown. You know, I watched the whole draft. There are things about the draft that are just so infuriating. I don't know why the NBA can't get this right. Why do they do what they do on draft night with trades? I know it has something to do with the league calendar and trades can't become official, etc., but stop it. This is a television show. You've got to make it easy for your fans, for the consumers of this, and you just make it so hard. It's not that hard. We have a trade. The Washington Wizards at 18 have traded number 18 to the Utah Jazz for the Utah Jazz's first round pick number 21 overall, their second round pick number 43 overall, and two future second round picks. With the 18th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Utah Jazz select Walter Clayton Jr. And then when he walks to the stage, they have a Utah Jazz hat, not a Wizards hat, for him to put on. It's been the dumbest thing for years. I don't care about, you know, CBAs and trade official debt, you know, when trades can become official. It's all so dumb, and it's terrible for the consumer, and it's terrible for their draft presentation. It's terrible. Not only that, last night you had the situation in which the commissioner was stepping to the podium and announcing trades that had happened 4 and 5 picks earlier, and then confusing everybody even more before the team that was on the clock, who had also traded, but then he announces it as their pick. My God, Adam Silver is a smart guy. How he hasn't, you know, gotten together with everybody around the table and said, we got to fix this. This is a very confusing night for our fans. And by the way, for people who are casual fans of the league, the NFL draft has become, let's face it, after the NFL games and college football games, the NFL draft is probably the third most popular, you know, product out there. They do it right. Could you imagine Goodell and the other owners, if they're, you know, got guys coming up, putting on, you know, holding up jerseys of the wrong team, not the team that they were going to play for? It's got to be one of the dumbest things in sports. And how a smart guy like Adam Silver hasn't solved it, I don't know. And you had so many trades last night, so the confusion level was at an all-time high. All right. Max wants to weigh in. I want to know what Max thinks about these picks. I'm also going to play for you some of what Will Dawkins, the general manager of the Wizards, what he said about their draft last night. We'll do that and more and get an update at 10:40 from Eric Flack from Channel 9 on the latest regarding the RFK site deal. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Richard Trey said that he wore your number to honor you, to honor your legacy. Your legacy is headed to the NBA. How well do you think he has honored that?
I mean, he deserves it. This was my dream 20 years ago. I mean, 30 years ago, but I'd rather for him to be here than me anyway. So I'm just glad and honored to have a son that, you know, wanted to represent his father.
When you hear that from your dad, Trey, what goes through your mind?
He tried to lie on his age right now, but most definitely.
I enjoyed that interview.
He's been in the whole way, and it's like we both getting drafted right now.
Oh, sorry.
Outstanding, guys. Congratulations.
That was good. Between Trey Johnson and the father. By the way, Monica McNutt, I'm a fan of hers.
She was really good last night. She was really good last night. I thought she did a great job interviewing the players and the families and all that.
It's such a hard thing to do, too.
It really, because like you could see, I forget exactly which pick it was, but one of the players' mothers, she was like inconsolably crying because she was so happy, obviously. And so she tried to throw to mom and she was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to, and then you just kind of kept it moving, you know? She did a really good job last night. Credit to her.
Yeah, that was... whose mother was that? Was Edgecombe's mother, I think.
Yes. They're talking about Jamaica and all that. Yeah,
they're from the Bahamas. Yeah,
Bahamas.
Yeah, I think Monica McNutt, who by the way played at Georgetown, she's from here. She grew up in the DMV. I got to get her on the show. I've tried and we've texted back and forth, and it just never works because she's usually doing so much TV. At the same time we're on. But I think she did a great job, and I think that's a really hard thing to do. The, you know, first of all, 9 times out of 10, it's not the best of interviews. Then you've got the emotion of it. It's just, it's not easy. And I thought she was great last night. All right, real quickly, Max, did you like it or not?
Of course.
Two players?
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. Like, well, so obviously when Will Dawkins and Michael Winger came in, like a lot of people really wanted them to like speed up this timeline, speed up this process. But if you want to do it right, you got to slow things down. And this is what they're doing. They're bringing in guys from all over. Like they're bringing in aging veterans to help mentor these young guys. And then they're basically, with all these young picks, they're just drafting Hooper after Hooper after Hooper. So that I'm a big fan of this draft strategy. And it's going to be very fun to watch in the coming years.
Were you a big fan of the South Carolina kids girlfriend?
Of course, always. And I was also a big fan of Dylan Harper's mother. But
Dylan Harper's mother, yes, very impressive. Impressive. It's interesting on a night like last night what ends up becoming a big part of social media. I've got some good news and I've got some great news. The good news is that Prime Day is almost here. The great news, this year, you'll have 4 days to find deals on all of your favorite things. Shop Prime Day July 8th through 11th at Amazon.com. All right, Will Dawkins met with the media after the draft last night. This was Will Dawkins talking about what makes Trey Johnson the shooter he is.
I got to get in front of him and tell him stop sharing house secrets.
And he said that it was very memorable that you showed him highlights of plays that he took off. And
you want to start that over? Sorry, I missed that. I know you played the wrong one, but
sure did.
We're going to play number 13.
That's right.
Play 13. What makes Trey Johnson the shooter he is? Here's Will Dawkins.
Well, we know that Trey is a really good shooter, a particularly accomplished college shooter, but what, if you were to break down his shot, what makes him the shooter he is?
The ball going in a lot, and I expect it to continue. If you watch him go through a workout, the repetition, it's the same shot every time. He can speed it up. He can mid-range, deep, four-pointers, like, I'm not going to oversell his shooting. Like, this guy does that for a living, and he's going to get paid to do it. It's a repeatable shot every single time.
Yeah, it is. It is perfect sort of off fingertips, backward rotation, elbow extended. The release, I wouldn't call it super quick, but it's certainly quick enough. He squares up so well off the dribble or off the catch. Look, when you get a guy that shoots, you know, in the high 80s to low 90s from the free throw line, that is the stroke you want. That doesn't lie from the free throw line. This guy has a phenomenal stroke, and it's fun to watch him shoot it. And at the same time, he plays high-level motor, but is able to slow down off the catch or off the dribble, square up, get his, you know, get his body in the right spot to shoot it. It's fun to watch him shoot. I think it's fun to watch him create. I know that there was some, in the build-up to the draft, some criticism of his ability to create space. I didn't see that. Look, there were some excellent defensive teams in the SEC. Auburn, Tennessee, you know, for sure. I thought he was really, really good against the highest level of competition. Now, the soundbite that Max started to play is actually a really interesting revelation from Will Dawkins. Dawkins showed highlights of Trey Johnson not playing super hard. Hear him explain it.
And he said that it was very memorable that you showed him highlights of plays that he took off, and it motivated him, and he's still thinking about it. So he's continued to think about it. So can you kind of tell us your side of that story?
I got to get in front of him and tell him stop sharing house secrets, first off. I don't know if it was highlights, lowlights, or what it is, but when we bring guys in, we make sure that we get a feel for who they are, they get a feel for who we are and spend a lot of time here, and we're not going to sugarcoat everything. Michael and I, it's important to be transparent. There's a lot to like with Trey, but there are some areas he's got to grow in just like every other 19-year-old player, and we'd rather address it on the front end, see if he can improve upon it, see what his answers are, and it was just fun banter conversations, I'd say. He had a film session with BK and the coaching staff. It was probably a little nicer than mine. But in both of those, he showed his IQ. And that's what really stood out. His ability to remember plays, his ability to say, what could you have done differently? During the workout, we throw him in positions and offense and the plays that we run and see how quickly he picks up on it. And the guy's a sponge. He has a high IQ. So the film sessions were fun, but he's got to keep that to himself next time.
Really interesting stuff. You know, every general manager, every time they have these interviews pre-draft, you know, NFL, NBA, they're always going to show lowlights. They're going to show the player lowlights and see how the player handles. He said, the answers, looking for the answers, because it's very revealing about character. It's very revealing about the kind of person they are getting. We've heard this over the years, especially at the NFL level. You know, we played, you know, some of the guys' interceptions to see what his reaction was, and it was very revealing, either in a very positive way or negative way. Very interesting. Yes, it was Trey Johnson who talked about the highlights being shown, or the lowlights being shown, and he appreciated that, and that was Will Dawkins talking about it, and didn't want necessarily secrets to be revealed. But I can't, any general manager, any organization's evaluation of a player pretty much includes, you know, hey, we got to show him what we don't like and see how he handles that. So it sounds like he handled it very well. All right, there was a lot more from Will Dawkins. We'll play some of that throughout the show. Up next, Eric Flack from Channel 9 will jump on with us and give us the latest on the RFK deal. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can also watch us now on our YouTube channel, Team 980 YouTube channel. Subscribe to it and like it.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro.
You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fast-moving stuff this week as it relates to the RFK deal. Remember back in late April, the mayor and Josh Harris, along with a lot of dignitaries, announced that the team was headed back home to the RFK site. A deal had been struck, but there, of course, was always the need for this deal to be passed by the D.C. City Council. That hasn't happened yet. The original deal called for a July 15th deadline for the council to vote on it. And yesterday, the chair, Phil Mendelson, introduced legislation to separate the stadium deal from the budget itself, which means it won't get voted on by July 15th. So lots of stuff happening. The team responded. Let's go to our guy, Eric Flack, from Channel 9. We bring him on to the show. Of course, Eric does a great job covering a lot of different things for WUSA Channel 9, but a lot of the investigative stuff for all those years with Snyder and now the stadium stuff, he's been all over at Eric Flack TV on X and on Twitter. So, you were on my podcast yesterday, and then more stuff happened after we recorded that. So, catch everybody up to speed, you know, from April 28th to where we are now.
Yeah, well, you know, the big issue that I think your listeners need to know about is the fact that the mayor had made the RFK Stadium funding deal a part of the larger budget. And from the beginning, which means the money was all tied up as part of this larger overall budget plan. And there was a lot of criticism from DC Council about when the stadium deal was introduced and announced in relation to when the budget itself was handed to DC Council. And from the beginning, there has been pushback from DC Council about not being able to fully digest it and being painted into a corner by the mayor to approve the deal without proper oversight. And so despite assurances in the past that they would not do that, yesterday DC Council voted to strip the RFK Stadium deal out of the city's budget cycle this year. Now, that does not mean that they're not going to approve it, pass it, or ultimately bring the Commanders back to the RFK site. What it does mean is that they are dealing with one of the more complicated and consequential budgets in recent D.C. history because of the deficit and everything that's going on with the federal government. And they are literally kind of focused to a man and woman on the budget issues facing the city outside of the stadium. And they have pulled the stadium issue out of the budget to settle the budget itself, police officers, education, violence interrupters, that sort of thing. And then they're going to consider the stadium as part of a separate legislation now, once they will get to after they settle the budget sometime this month. The problem, in the eyes of the Washington Commanders, is that this now threatens their timeline to open the stadium in 2030 and bid on things like having D.C. and the new stadium be a Women's World Cup site in 2031, because they say every month that D.C. Council does not approve this stadium pushes back their timeline and threatens everything that they have laid out. So things have gone from tense to more tense between D.C. Council, who feels like they are being bullied by the mayor and the team, and the mayor, Mayor Bowser, and the Commanders, who feel like they are giving D.C. Council a gift of a financial windfall and economic redevelopment that the city desperately needs right now.
All right, so what we are now dealing with is not whether or not they will get to it and will vote on it, but the time frame in which they get to it and whether or not that pleases or displeases the football team. And based on their statement, even though, you know, it was somewhat upbeat, the fact that, you know, it ends with, "We are hopeful the council will continue to work in an expedited way to approve this deal and deliver a significant win for the people of D.C., I think, you know, reflects the frustration over sort of what I think many people would perceive, and I know that there's a lot of complexity to this, but the perception is, hey, you got this on April 28th. Yeah, you got the budget, you got the stadium. Do both of them within the time frame of July 15th. So let's get to it. When will they vote on it? When will, if it's not July 15th, when will it be, and how much will that impact the team, and what would the team do as a response if it didn't get voted on until well after the deadline?
I think a lot of this, we're now in uncharted, it's all uncharted territory, but really this stadium issue has actually been pretty calm sailing until now. I think what I'm being told is that certainly August, before D.C. Council would be able to approve a stadium deal, possibly September. And when you start talking about possibly September, that's when the team starts getting really, really upset. They're issuing statements saying, you know, we any substantive delays, the words that they're using in their official statement are any substantive.
Yeah, that's the word. Is substantive.
Delays.
Yeah.
Any serious delays. Let's dumb it down for people like me. any serious delays to approval are going to threaten specifically them bidding on the 2030 being a host site for 2031 World Cup. So my understanding from people close to this is that's September. If it goes past August, I've been told August is kind of the drop dead. What date in August? I'm not sure. But sometime in August, if you get past that, then the team starts saying their timeline is really kind of messed up. I have been told by at least one or two council members that this drifting into September is very much a possibility. The council members tell me, quite honestly, look, A, we don't want to screw this up. We don't want to mess up the Commanders. And there's an idea that if the city is in fact going to spend this much money, that you better do it in a way where you're going to get all the benefits. And
Right. Certainly
being a Women's World Cup,
that's a benefit to the city as much as it is to the owners of the football team.
So if you're going to spend the money, spend the money and do it in a timeline which is ultimately going to bring you immediate returns. And so, but the question then becomes, I think on a lot of council members' minds, are they really not going to be able to bid on the Women's World Cup if we approve this in September as opposed to August? Is that really, really going to, like, be the difference? And I think that's where kind of the gray area comes in, is that you've got the team saying, look, we've already condensed the timeline. We're already trying to do this in basically under 5 years, or just about 5 years, if you're talking about from now. But, I mean, shovels aren't even in the ground yet. And so every month or two of delays, and then you get into December, the winter months where you probably can't work as much. Every month or two of delays over the summer actually, you know, is compounded, or is it this kind of just more, you know, jockeying by the team with the D.C. Council trying to get their deal passed? And I think that's where kind of the gray area now comes in, is who's right, who's wrong, and how consequential is a month or two more of delays.
Yeah, you and I talked about this yesterday, but, you know, the council does have a job to do. I think most reasonable people understand that, and if you're a tax-paying D.C. resident, and I am, you want the best possible deal for the city, and it's their job to get that. And perhaps by waiting and pushing it off and having a deep understanding that they don't want to go anywhere, they're not going to Maryland, and they're not going to lose the 2031 FIFA Women's World Cup, maybe they end up getting a better deal and they look really good at the end. But the perception right now is bureaucratic snail's pace. How about do two things simultaneously? How about work, you know, 24/7 and over weekends and get this thing done and let's move on? And I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying the perception can be left that that's what's going on.
And then they would be on this call with you right now, Kevin, and they would say, well, if the timing were so important, you know, why didn't the mayor and the, you know, loop in the council sooner? You know, why? And so my point being that there's all this finger pointing, like, well, you should have done this. Well, you should have done this. And in the end, you know, we're kind of left with two sides who want to get to the same destination, but are kind of arguing because of politics, maybe because of egos and because of true, like, you know, altruistic responsibility to serve their constituents somewhere in there. You hope that it's in there as to like how it's going to be done and how quickly it's going to be done. And then you get to the question of whether the council are really going to ask for and are the commanders really going to be able to like accommodate that and who's going to ultimately, you know, it becomes a game of chicken and who's going to ultimately back down and acquiesce and are we going to start digging our heels in and, you know, how much hardball are either side going to play? How much hardball can either side play at this point?
Well, post July 15th, based on the term sheet and my understanding of it, the only way chicken is played is if the team goes back to Maryland and starts to negotiate.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, let's say the council asks for something. Let's say it goes to August. And the council is like, well, we want more revenue on the parking. We want part of the parking revenue. Because right now we don't get any of the parking revenue. We pay for parking garages, but we don't keep any of the money. That's a big sticking point. And the team is like, go pound sand. We're keeping the parking revenue. Well, where do we go from there? Like, you know, but the council's like, no, we want the parking revenue. And the team's like, we're not giving you the parking revenue. We need that to pay for the stadium. Well, who gives in that situation? You know, it's things like that, and there's a million little...
Do you think that's the number one sticking point, parking revenue?
I think that the labor thing, which is really inside baseball, it's really
what,
complicated.
Union versus non-union?
The union stuff, the idea that the mayor has stripped a provision, like if it's government or federal land, you're supposed to use... like this PLA, like I forget what PLA, performance labor agreement, but you're supposed to basically use like union folks on like any development on like federal land. And the mayor stripped that or tweaked it to say yes for the stadium, but for everything else that's going to be built a lot by Josh Harris and investors and like him, this doesn't apply. Well, that angers the council, too. And they are like, wait, that's not fair to workers, union workers who are going to lose out on all these other projects. I mean, that's another one. I mean, council member White told me he wants the commanders to move their headquarters to D.C. Well, that is part of this deal. That's not going to happen. You know, but what if he digs his heels in? He's like, I want you to move your headquarters to D.C. so we get the full benefit of the Washington Commanders. Well, the Commanders are all set up in Ashburn, and they're investing hundreds of millions of dollars. You know,
they could move some of their stuff in College Park to D.C., though, right?
They what are headquarters, right? I mean,
but we're talking
about
a minimal number of employees, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's stuff like that.
All right. I know you got a role, but the exit question is two part. One, give me a prediction on when they vote on this. And two, where is the city council right now, the 12 members of the city council on yes, no votes?
So that's such a, okay. First question first. I think cooler heads prevail and they get this done in August because I think DC council does ultimately realize that speeding up this process benefits them financially in the long run. And I think the 2031 Women's World Cup is a big deal. That is not too far away. Those are dollar returns that they can see and say, okay, reach out and touch. And because we're not talking about something too far down the road, and I think it's embarrassing that D.C. is not a site for the Men's World Cup, and right. and they don't want that to happen again. So I'll say August with that. B, the Post has this count.
I'm looking at it.
Okay, I mean, people like White, you know, there are some, like, you know, there are the yes votes with just the McDuffies, the Pintos of the world, like Danita Bonds, they're like, yes, whatever. They're in the no votes, like Nadeau. See, I only count Nadeau as no, definitely no vote, maybe Allen. But I don't count Mendelsohn as a no vote. I think ultimately he is going to, and I think White and a lot of the others that say there are conditions and we're not sure, I think they're ultimately going to come around. I told you yesterday, even Robert White, who I did this interview with, who has major concerns, he's bringing up all these problems, acknowledges, and he gives the analogy of the Louis Vuitton shoes. He's like, my wife, you know, may want Louis Vuitton shoes. That might not be a great financial decision for me and my family, but she wants it, and the kids think she's going to love them and look good in them. And eventually I buy the Louis Vuitton shoes, even though, like, I don't think it's really the best use of our money, because it's just kind of what we want to do. And he says the stadium kind of ultimately becomes that. Like, are there financial concerns? Sure. But, like, you know, it is pretty clear a lot of the people want it. And we just might have to kind of, like, take our time with, like, how we agree to this, to spending all this money. And I think all those people in that camp ultimately come and find a way to vote for the stadium.
By the way, and I got to run and you got to run, and I'm up against a hard break, but would they even vote if they didn't have seven votes?
I mean, they can. Anybody can call for a vote at any time.
Okay.
I mean, it's not up to the commanders or the mayor. This is out of their hands at this point. It's in the hands of the D.C. Council.
All right. Hope you're right. Hope they get it done, you know, in August, and that's satisfactory to the team. Appreciate it, as always, Eric. Thanks. Great job. Eric Flack, everybody. Investigative, Murrow Award-winning investigative reporter. Chase Hughes covers the Wizards for Monumental Sports. He'll join us next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.